So here we are, Worldwide Live, through BBS Radio Online, 3 minutes early. Thank you, BBS, for all possible for us. I welcome all those who are joining in on the Internet. This is a simulcast with a conference call, and we had another person join in. Every time you hear a ding that somebody joining in, I welcome that person. If you want to, please say your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, Ice. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don. Welcome to the call. How you doing?
Good. How's it going?
All right, man. Damananda, I need to mute your line. Hope you don't mind.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Don. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Anna from Kent, Washington.
Hi, Anna. Good evening. How are you doing?
Very good. Enjoying this beautiful weather here.
Great. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right. Somebody else joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hey, hi. This is David Mesa.
Hey, Dave. How are you doing, brother?
Good, man. How are you doing?
All right, man. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
All right.
Anna in Washington, how's the legal marijuana thing going up there?
It seems like this week the first store was to open or something.
Uh-huh.
I don't know any real details, but they're doing something.
That's the second state then, right? Isn't it Denver also or Colorado?
Yep.
I think so, yes.
Yes.
My son's going to be thrilled.
A lot of people are going to be thrilled.
Oh, he's going to be so happy.
Arizona is coming along also.
Oh, yeah?
Slowly but surely.
Mm-hmm.
Heiss, you should know about that, right? I mean, isn't it legal in...
In Holland, yeah, it's a different city.
Oh, Holland.
I don't see why we have to make a plant legal.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. Welcome to the call. Say your name and location. I heard somebody else joined in. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location. Well, we welcome you. You don't have to say your name, neither location. Thank you for being here.
The craziest part is they made just hemp illegal. You can't even get high off it. It's just an agricultural crop.
I know, and they've come up with some real medicinal benefits.
Most useful plant in the world. Food.
Yes.
Fiber.
Had somebody else joined in. I heard a ding. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Dr. Friedman.
Uncle Terry.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Oh, man, I just want to give you a big hug. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Uncle Terry.
Hi there.
Hey, Terry, this is Wolf, known as George.
Hi there, Wolf.
All right, and somebody else joined in. Could this be another Terry?
Hi.
Hi, Terry Brown.
Hi, dear.
Hi, Terry.
You came in almost at the same time through the door with Uncle Terry.
Oh, hi, Uncle Terry.
Hi there.
I can barely hear you, Terry Brown.
Terry Brown, your line is not so clear.
Okay.
That's better.
This is great.
A little tiny mouse there.
Yeah, the book, the Man That Walked with Jesus book is selling, and I think there's only eight left.
Oh, yeah. It's very good.
It's a wonderful book.
Yeah, it is.
I've been reading it. Great. Fantastic.
Good.
Terry Brown, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right. Oh, somebody else joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you. I welcome all those people that are joining in online through BBS Radio. Thank you for participating with this gathering. This is a simulcast with a conference call, so every time you hear a ding, that somebody else joining in on the call. And, of course, those people are able to speak up, and we cannot hear you online, but we know you're here, and we thank you for that. All right. So, Terry Brown.
Yes.
How's your roommate coming along? Oh, here he is.
Oh, good. Good.
Did you think I was playing hooky?
Yes. You're a minute late. 2 minutes late, Vin. Shame on you.
This is what happens. This is what happens when you start going to other timelines.
All right, all right. You're forgiven.
I win. Who is that? Don Herman?
Yeah, hi.
Hi, Don, are you okay tonight?
Yeah.
Let me welcome this.
Yeah.
More people joining in. You have a chance right now to say your name and location. We thank you for being here.
Julianne here, San Diego.
I hear Julianne. Welcome, Julianne.
Thank you.
Who's the other person?
Chris in Memphis.
Roger in Austin.
Somebody from Austin.
Yeah, this is Roger.
Hey, Roger. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Hi, it's Susan in Delaware.
Hi, Susan. Thank you for being here. Vin, I'm going to turn off the dings.
You're turning off the dings, right?
The entry signs are off. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Terry, are you ready, Terry?
Which Terry?
Just that answers your question.
I'm never ready.
Too many Terrys.
No.
Never enough Terry.
Never enough.
Not enough.
There's never enough Terry's.
Terry.
So I'll change our name to Terry. Yeah. That's how you get to be a big shot on our show. I got squeezed through. Okay. I got a really interesting show tonight. Let's start the recording. And
can I mute the lines?
Let's see. Are the lines all open right now?
Yes, they are.
Yep. We got all the people on BBS and all the people on the call. Let's just send some healing energy to Terry Friedman. Okay?
Okay. Thank you, Terry. Blessings to you.
To surround Terry Friedman in Phoenix, and we just see the energy moving through his body on a cellular level. And we ask all our sources that love him to give him support and see if he can. Well, let's ask this for a total healing. We want a total healing, okay? Now, I wish I could be Jesus, because then I could say, boom, you got it. But
thank you, Wynn.
You're welcome. Well, thank me when you call me tomorrow and say you feel great, okay?
Yeah.
All right?
You bet.
We're just attempting now. And
no guarantees.
Yeah. Maybe we can bring Jesus in online, and then we can get. I don't know what he can do on the other side, but maybe we can find out. Because I think we're working with the Christ of energies in our group. So in any case, did we start recording yet, guys?
Here we go. Are you ready? No? Here we go.
This conference is being recorded.
This is Winfrey. This is...
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
July 7th, 2014. And, for the past few weeks, Terry and I have been sitting in some private sessions where I've asked some things that I wouldn't dare ask publicly until I got the answers, because they just might answer. But, it's stuff I want to moderate. I want to make sure I feel comfortable with it. And usually I come up with an idea And I'll be thinking about it, and I say, this really makes sense. This puts things together. And then by the time I have it where I think I'm right, that's when I ask them and see if I'm making a mistake. And sometimes I'm making a mistake, and they say, try it this way. And other times, I got it. I got it right on. And one of the things that has been a mystery to me that I've been thinking about for quite a few months, if not years, but at least a year, is this connection with the Anunnaki. You know, if you haven't been coming into our calls for a while, we have some things in our archives that you may want to go back to after you hear this call. And go to thespiritchannel.net and look up Rewriting the Old Testament, and you'll find about three or four sessions we did that were really quite breakthrough in looking at where humans came from, how we got started, how we got screwed up. And I'll tell you, it's not like anything you ever heard. It sounds like a movie, but there's quite a bit of evidence that it was true. I'll go through it really fast so some of you that are new can at least understand where we're going to go in this call. You know, we have two group souls that we interface with. At least they identify themselves as group souls, and it fits a lot of information that makes it sensible. But I'm not going to put all that information. I know we've already done that. And so please go back and listen to some of our archives, the Rewriting the Old Testament. But we have the Ra group, and we have the Elohim. The Ra group is made up of graduates of this realm, souls that got off the wheel of reincarnation, is the Buddhist term, and now have grouped together in another dimension, huge group, hundreds of millions of them, to help planets at lower levels of evolution. And the Ra group, according to the Ruckert material and the Wilcox material, there's millions of Ra group members that graduated this realm that came back to be of service. And once a graduate of this realm comes back, when they get into a body, they no longer remember that they graduated. They don't know why they're here. And they get in most cases, even though they came back to be of service, according to the Carlo Ruckert material, 90% of them get lost again in this realm, because they come into a family, they're brought up in that family, they take on the belief systems and the energies that are in that family, and so only 10% of them manage to reconnect. And I don't think, when I say reconnect, I don't think it means scratching the surface of knowing all that we talk about on this call. It means that they know they're supposed to be of service, and they may end up as an artist. They may end up as an ambulance driver. They may end up as a hotel concierge, someplace where they can use their connection with higher realms and bring a higher energy into this realm. But usually, even if they're doing that, they don't know that they're a graduate of this realm. They don't know all the reasons. And so, why do they do it when 90% get lost? The reason is because, you know, once I read something by Philip Dick, who talked about this. He was the famous science fiction writer whose movie he died, and after he died, he got rich, but he couldn't spend the money. His science fiction books became major movies like Blade Runner. I think I can't remember the others, but lots of classic movies in the last 20 years. And he lived in Berkeley, and he used drugs, and he was talking to the Elohim. Now, he didn't tell that to people, but he kept the journal. And after he died, his journal came out, and he was talking about beings that come in from higher realms into this realm and how they go through Nemesis and how it's the ultimate sacrifice to do that, because you're going to come in here, you're going to become one with the negative in this realm, and that's becoming one with the negative is part of the sacrifice, so that by becoming one with it, you can pull it through because you understand it, but you don't even know you're doing that because you have no memory of it. You know, and then it takes a whole bunch of lives to figure it out and actually do that work. And I believe that many of you who are endeared to our work, and it makes sense to and it resonates with, are those beings. But that doesn't make it any easier for you, as you learned. Just because you know that, you still are in this realm, you're still in a body, you still have to figure out how to master this realm, how to have good relationships, how to make money, and how not to get sucked in. Or if you're already sucked in, how to get sucked out, okay? So, there's the Ra group. That's the Ra group we're talking about. The group soul of graduates. And Ra group people in this realm tend to have some wisdom of the realm. They have wisdom of the realm because they're old souls that have been here for many lifetimes, and they've been there and done that. And, like, I would certainly believe that I have a connection with the Ra group. Now, the other group soul is the Elohim soul. And we've talked to the Elohim, what identifies itself as the Elohim all the time. And the Elohim is made of graduates of this realm. Souls, no, I'm sorry, so, not graduates, cancel that. The Elohim is made of souls that were here before there was a physical universe, and they created the physical universe. And they created it by frequency. They didn't, you know, it wasn't say, let there be light. They learned how to, they were experimenting. Keep in mind, they're experimenting. They exist. They know they exist. They're aware. They're aware of each other. They don't have bodies, as far as I know. There weren't any physical things. They were energy forms. They were spirit forms. And they could connect with each other. But there was no persistence. Nothing lasted unless they thought about it or concentrated on it. And as soon as they stopped concentrating, it disappeared. So then there was the desire to create persistence. And they didn't even have a reference point for what persistence was. Just imagine you're in this floaty state and you know nothing lasts. So they started to explore and experiment, and they found out they could generate frequencies, and they could generate two of them or three of them or however many would create a frequency, and where the frequencies would combine, there would be nodes, and those nodes would generate a point in space-time that wasn't there. And they were very scientific. They had to, you know, create the frequencies very precisely. And I've asked a lot of questions about it. Some of it is in the Creator God book. Some of it is in other sessions, and some of it's in private sessions. But in most cases, it's hard to grasp it, even for me, because I was a physics major. I just scratched the surface of grasping it. I think about those things, and sometimes if I think about them long enough, I eventually say, aha, I can get it. Now, the Elohim also come into this realm. And the Elohim are more powerful than the Ra group. And they have the same limitation that when they come into this realm, they don't know their Elohim anymore. They don't know anything except they're in this realm, and they have power over other people if they choose. They're charismatic. And it was one of the things that came up was that the Mormons were created as a way to make a dogma, a religion, a set of guidelines so that Elohim souls could come into this realm and they might not get lost. And so the theory is that the original Mormons that were born to in 1800s were Elohim souls. And I looked at that very carefully, analytically. I've known Mormons, and I've connected with Mormons. And there's an aspect of Mormons that seemed to validate that that could be true. Okay, even though it came through a channeling, I don't say to believe it, but the things about Mormons that helped me fulfill that profile were, number one, they take care of each other better than any other religion. Like, I have a friend who's a Mormon, and when she ran out of money, they paid her rent, okay? Number two, they tend to be fairly good-looking. They tend to be fairly hardy. Number three, they have power in this realm. They tend to be successful. They tend to create businesses. Now, in the worst case, Elohim souls that come into this realm go negative because of their power. And way back when, what the Bible calls fallen angels would have been Elohim souls came into this realm and that were playing the power card. But the most interesting thing about Elohim souls in this realm is they don't have the wisdom of the realm. The Elohim, and of course we talk to the Elohim all the time, they definitely have wisdom. They have wisdom. But and they have been watching us for millions or billions of years. They've watched us hurt. They've watched us fail. They have compassion. But the one thing they don't have is they've never been stuck in this realm. They never took a body and understood how easy it, they understand how easy it is to fall off your wagon, but they've never had the experience of being here and stuck themselves. It's all been vicarious. And when they come into the realm, they tend to be aloof. They group together, like Mormons. And you'll very rarely find a Mormon, and I'm using them because I know Mormons, and so do you, that have street smarts. But they'll be highly radiant. They can be very loving. They can radiate a lot of love into this realm. And if you take an example, you look at Donnie and Marie Osmond, who are Mormons, who I think are perfect examples, especially when they were young, of an Elohim soul in this realm. And you can look at other Mormons. Doesn't mean they're positive, like Romney. You know, he's wholesome, he looks good, he's handsome, he's got a lot of good qualities, and I totally don't believe all his politics. Not sure if he's not really negative at one point, but he's got the profile of an Elohim soul. And then there's other people in this realm that are very old souls that have huge wisdom. And I would usually pick Leonard Cohen, the poet singer, as being an old soul with wisdom in this realm. And I would take him to be connected to the Ra group, okay? Because he's been there, he's done that. And you can think of other people and decide which side they go. So the Elohim souls tend to be angelic. They tend to be starseeds. The Ra souls call themselves wanderers. And we have this whole history that we talked about where, let me just add something before I go back to the history. One of the things that came in the Carla Rucker channelings from the rock group was they talked about a planet called Maldek. Maldek, I think, existed, I'm going to get this wrong, it existed somewhere out there, maybe between Mars and Jupiter, or Jupiter and Saturn, and Maldek exploded, it destroyed itself in a nuclear, some kind of incident, and it had a big population. It was like our planet, it, you know, many, many people, and when it exploded in a nuclear explosion, the souls became fragmented and glommed together. This is what happens. A nuclear explosion is one of the worst places to die because it's a multidimensional explosion. Your physical body is not just dying. It's screwing up parts of you in other dimensions. And what happened was Maldek was described in the raw material, the souls of Radek, as a tangled mass of souls. And the rod group said they moved these souls to Earth. They moved them to take on the bodies of, I think, hybrids, ape, Neanderthal man. Beginning then, and they needed to go through a period of integration for quite a few lifetimes before they were able to individuate themselves. They didn't even know they existed. They existed, but the way it's described is that they didn't know they existed because they were glommed together. And a whole planet full of people glommed together, probably hundreds of millions. Now, we go to some of the stuff we talked about in rewriting the Old Testament. We talk about the Anunnaki. The Anunnaki was a group of space ETs in spaceships that needed gold for their planet, that had been coming to Earth to mine the gold. And they had a problem with working in the Earth's environment because their bodies were not suited for it. And so they decided to make a hybrid of them and an ape. So it'd be strong and smart, and use these hybrids to do their labor, okay? Now, how do we know this is true? This is all talked about in the past, but briefly, there was a city called Sumeria, the oldest city on our planet that had records. And there was more than one person that were examining the records. The wall etchings, you know, the tablets, and translating them. And in those tablets, supposedly, was the story of the Anunnaki. And it told the story of these two Anunnaki brothers, Enki and Enlil. And originally, when they were creating the humans, they weren't going to let them breed. They had to be sterile, or they didn't have... Obviously, these people were some genetic masters, this doesn't come from the higher realms. It came from the lower interplanetary realms, not to mess with the evolution of a planet. So if they let the humans breed, they would have been messing with the evolution of the planet. And the one brother didn't want to do it. But they apparently, according to where the stories go, they had to breed the humans in their women. So the women had to be, I forget what that's called, midwives, not midwives. So, you know, they would be carrying the seed, the womb, the fetus. And
surrogate.
Surrogate mothers. Yeah. Thank you, Terry. And And by carrying these things, then they would give birth to them, but it wasn't their babies. It was these hybrids. And so there was a lot of problem, and there was this argument or division between these two brothers, Enlil and Enki. And Enki wanted to grow the humans, to let them evolve, to let them move into God realization, and Enlil didn't. He wanted, the two brothers became enemies. And in the rewriting of the Old Testament, we went through how the Old Testament, a lot of indications that the gods of the Old Testament were actually Anunnaki. And the Anunnaki broke into separate tribes, and each tribe, a tribe of humans under them, and they would become the gods of that tribe. So if you go into the Old Testament, you'll have Baal, which was, you'll have Yahweh, you'll have Jehovah. And you know the god of fear, the god of do this or you'll get in trouble, or the gods that said sacrifice your children or animals. That does not really sound like the our guys, does it? It doesn't sound like the Elohim or Ra group, those of you who have been paying attention. And I don't think it was. It was the Anunnaki. And they were playing out controlling humans. And to some degree, they started having sex with the humans. And that drew them into reincarnation. That drew them into being stuck here. And they were having sex because they wanted to, how can I say it? DNA is the magic deal. When you have somebody with higher DNA and they have sex with somebody with lower DNA, they will increase the evolution of the person with lower DNA. And the babies will come in at a higher evolution. So one strain was trying to evolve the humans, the Enki strain. If you look at Noah, Noah would be the god of whoever was dealing with Noah. It sounds to me, you know, the way the story goes, is you brought all the animals onto the ark. I think what they were doing, they were bringing all these DNA samples into a spaceship, I think. Maybe they took the animals into the spaceship, but there was a devastation. And some of the devastations of the Old Testament that we read historically is from God were actually the Enlil side of these two brothers that was trying to get rid of all the humans, like Sodom and Gomorrah, the Sinai Peninsula. And so there's all these translations. You can look it up. The guy who did the translations was Zachariah Sitchin, S-I-T-C-H-E-N. And then there was a fellow that we actually, Terry and I, went to see him give a talk, and we're getting exposed to his work. His name was Michael Tellinger. Michael Tellinger is South African, and he believed he discovered the landing pads in the gold mines of these Anunnaki. And he has pictures, he's got strange things, he's got things with strange energies. Look him up if you want to pursue this. Michael Tellinger, T-E-L-L-I-N-G-E-R. But between my study of Zachariah Sitchin and Michael Tellinger, and even early on, before I did any of this studying, there were a few sentences in the early Elohim sessions that seemed to indicate this. They didn't go into great detail, just a little hint. But when the information came in, I said, well, I heard about this before. So I'm predisposed to believe it's true. There's not enough time in a call like this to give all the backups, but it's on the internet, and that's the great thing about today, that We could never be doing a call like this if it wasn't for the internet. Just I would could never figure it out, and I wouldn't know how to do it. I wouldn't know how to trust it. So we have the Anunnaki, and we have the Old Testament, and then we have Jesus. Now, you know, Terry Friedman's on the line, and there's a really good case connecting him with Matthew and Jesus. But what I'm saying now is stuff that he's never been exposed to. So I don't know, he doesn't have to believe it, because his work holds together whether he believes it or not. He can do. I can, you know, share some of my research with him. But here is what I was putting together that is so breakthrough. I think it's breakthrough. I think it's fitting the missing pieces together. The Anunnaki, through the Old Testament, were making themselves have God status. They were making themselves be worshipped. They were making all kinds of ways of keeping humans subservient and enslaved status, including the Hebrews, I would imagine. And they were not Ra group, and they were not the Elohim group, except the Anunnaki had to have been derivative of the Elohim. They had to be, because they identified themselves as the Elohim. And sometimes when people hear our work and they hear the word Elohim, they think it's the Anunnaki. Now, I used to explore this, and I think, maybe is it the Anunnaki and I'm being fooled? Do you know there's some of you may have found a guy named Ra'el, R-A-E-L, in Canada, who was talking to the Elohim and say they're coming back in spaceships to save us, and he's building a tower. Now, I'm not going to comment about that, whether that's positive or negative or they're coming back, but Ra'el, this guy Ra'el, interesting, he calls himself Ra'el, seems to be communicating with the Anunnaki, who would call themselves Elohim. And in the Old Testament, where they refer to the Elohim, they say, the sons of God mated with the daughters of man. Remember I said the Anunnaki were having sex with the humans. And they obviously were calling themselves Elohim. The sons of God mated with the daughters of man. Now, where does the Ra group fit into all of this? Okay? I kept asking myself, we have all of this stuff going on. We have all these guys playing God, making humans, you know, hybriding stuff. And we have Maldek that exploded. And Ra said through Carla Ruckert that there was a tangled mass that they brought here to incarnate in this realm. Guess where they incarnated? Now, this is, no one has ever said this before. They were incarnating as the humans, the hybrids that the Anunnaki had created through their genetic engineering. They created the bodies, and the Ra group was bringing the souls from Maldek into those bodies. And so the original humans were kind of screwed up. They didn't really hit the ground running because they were still trying to work out all these distortions that were somewhere in their consciousness that they carried from Maldek. And guess what? They're still trying to work it out. That's why so many humans are difficult cases. One of the reasons the Anunnaki, I asked this question, and they told me yes. And this is what I came up with, and they said, yes, that's correct. That doesn't mean it's true, but it's another check mark to say it might be true. And so the Ra group had a vested interest in all of these souls that were brought here. They had a vested interest in untangling them and bringing them to a state of evolution. And so you have this period of time. Now, Egypt also was under the influence of the Anunnaki. The gods of Egypt, and perhaps the gods of Greece, were real beings that were Anunnaki, who were just, some of them were positive and some of them were negative. When I started to do like searches for Enki, they said Enki came back and worked in Egypt, and then another Anunnaki was responsible for the goddess and tantric sex. Another Anunnaki was responsible for yoga. The positive Anunnakis were attempting to put techniques into this realm so that humans could evolve. And some of them knew exactly what they were doing and where they came from. And the other Anunnakis were trying to continue to control this realm, trying to control humans, trying to eliminate humans. Now, you know, some of you have heard that NWO, the I-L-L-U-M-N-A-I-T-I word, they want to eradicate 3/4 of the humans. Have you heard that? A lot of indication that that's true. It's why we have chemtrails. It's why we have GMO. It's a part of a master plan to do away with humans. And to me, I may be wrong, but it sounds like they have some connection with the negative Anunnaki, who had that agenda for a long time. So now, the Anunnaki is attempting to create control of everything. And then there's hierarchies in the Anunnaki. And now the question is, there were all these prophecies in the Old Testament that were saying that a Messiah was going to come. And I don't have the complete answer to this, because if those prophecies may have been made by the Anunnaki, who were going to try to create a one-world government through this Messiah. Or maybe they came through the Ra group, who was planning to bring in Jesus, and they needed to create hints. I don't know the answer, but I got the strong feeling, when I asked the question, the Anunnaki were not aware of the Ra group. They were not aware of the workings of the Ra group. They weren't aware of the souls were from Maldek. All they knew is they were creating and genetically engineering babies to do their work. And so, let's see if you can follow me on this. The Ra group had their own sense of love and care for these souls from Maldek. And what I think happened is the Ra group came in and was planning Jesus. And Jesus was going to be their positive guy in this realm. And they started with Akhenaten. And if you've read the Ra material, one of the questions asked was, who did Ra communicate with throughout history? And there were a handful of people, and Akhenaten was one of them. And Akhenaten, if you're not aware of Egyptian history, there was a pantheon of gods when Akhenaten came in. And you probably have heard their names. Osiris, Horus, I don't even know them all. But and for thousands of years, there were similar things to the Illuminati now, sacrifices. Maybe I should go back. At the beginning of Egypt, way back when, at the time Atlantis was going down, Edgar Cayce talked about him having an incarnation by the name Ra-Ta. And that in Edgar Cayce readings, Ra-Ta was building pyramids by levitation and doing healings and having temples of healing. In the Carla Ruckert readings, and this is one of the things I discovered right at the beginning that hooked me, that made me follow this through and think I was onto something, because this is like being a cosmic detective here. In the Carla Ruckert readings, Ra referred to an Egyptian high priest they had an affinity with, and they worked with that high priest, and they actually manifested light bodies that people could see in Egypt, did healings, and built the pyramids by levitation. It was exactly, the Carla Ruckert reading was exactly the same as the Edgar Cayce reading, except Edgar Cayce never talked about a group soul, and Ra through Carla Ruckert never mentioned Edgar Cayce. But it was the same period of time. It was the same events. It was the building of a pyramid by levitation. And now, in the Carla Ruckert readings, there was one added thing, and that was the priests of the time started taking on the Ra name, because when somebody comes in from the higher realms that's really positive and does all this miracle stuff, the priests want to take it over, and they want to use that name to control people as opposed to liberate them. So Ra said to Carla Ruckert, they made a mistake. They shouldn't have done this because things got worse instead of better. And so all each ancient Egypt was under the auspices of a god form that called itself Amun-Ra. Amun-Ra was not the Ra group. That was the name the priests came up with to use the Ra name, which had done miracles and built pyramids by levitation to control people. And then comes in this Egyptian pharaoh thousands of years later. We're talking about 10,000 B.C., now we're moving up to like 1,500 B.C. approximately, whose name was Akhenaten. And Akhenaten somehow was communicating with the Ra group, according to Carla Ruckert. And his wife was Nefertiti. And Akhenaten became very unpopular because he abolished all the gods of Egypt. He said, it's no longer legal to worship all this multiplicity of gods. There's only one god. And eventually he had to move all his people to another place, 200 miles from the capital. And his wife betrayed him, Nefertiti. And, you know, in the thing I sent you today, there was a little link that said the Egyptian connection. Suggest you go to that page. I'm not going to go into it deeply, but I'll say one thing. DK, if you know who DK is, because she doesn't want to be involved in this anymore, DK looks like Nefertiti. That's all I'm going to say. Go to the page, read it. It's a mind-blowing, another mind-blowing three-hour workshop of stuff you will never hear anywhere on this planet except on that workshop we did. And I won't do it again. It was too emotional. But in any case, Akhenaten, eventually, the priests marched in on Akhenaten City, and they destroyed it. And it's a mystery of what happened to Akhenaten. Now, if you go on the internet, there's a lot of people that say Akhenaten ended up being Moses. Either he reincarnated as Moses, or he fled his city with a band of Israelis, Hebrews, and led them into the desert. And I don't know the answer to that. I have no confirmation of what that's true or not. But one thing that is true, pretty well recognized, is that Akhenaten was part of the creation of the Essenes. And this was like, I think, at least 1,000 years before Jesus. But he took a group of enlightened beings that were around him, sent them into the desert, out of his city, to start a community. And these Essenes were the community that Jesus was part of. Supposedly his parents were Essenes, and it was the community that supported him in his role as a Messiah, okay? And it was connected to Akhenaten, and Akhenaten knew what he was doing. There was a very interesting book I read called My Son Akhenaten that tells about the relationship between Akhenaten and Nefertiti and how he was creating the Essenes and how his city got destroyed. And 1,000 years later, there was Jesus. So how does Jesus fit into this? Let's look at motivation. We have the Ra group, which is this group soul of hundreds of millions of souls acting as a team that take credit for moving the tangled mass of Maldekians moving the tangled mass of Maldekians 500,000 years ago into the human hybrids of the Anunnaki. This was a Ra group project. So the Earthlings on this planet now come, not all of them, and there's lots of ways that we're root races here, so I'm sure there's other mixes, but a good portion of them come from these Maldekians, and probably even you and I. And the Ra group was attempting to evolve these humans. And they were, in the same token, the Anunnaki was attempting to control them or destroy them. And so the Ra group had a plan to bring in a man of the people, a man who could hold a vortex from the higher realms into this realm. And they would anchor it with that man who volunteered to do this. And that, now, this is stuff that I have come up with, putting all the pieces together. That vortex that came in was what Christians call the Holy Spirit. And it was a radiant energy that would open the DNA up of the people and let them open up to love. And it was a model of how to do that in this realm. It was a model on a grassroots level on how we've talked about DNA and energy fields, and how energy fields, when you're in a field of energy that comes from a high realm, or even a middle realm, we are evolving ourselves by the fields of energy that we partake of. In other words, if you are learning the first seven strands of DNA represent your first seven chakras. So if you want to open your heart chakra, you need to be around people, situations, where their heart chakra is open, and there's a quality of osmosis that lets your heart chakra open. And if you want to learn about the third chakra, power, you need to be around people that are demonstrating power, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So if somebody can bring in the energy, and these group souls want to help, it's their project. It's particularly the Ra Group's project to help bring in these energies so humans evolve and open up their DNA and move into God consciousness, God realization. Having the experience, not the belief, that they are part of all that is, and that they are co-creator with all that is. And that was my hypothesis that's what Jesus, the role Jesus played. If you go into the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, there's a chapter there called Birth of the Christ Within Us All. And although the Ra Group doesn't mention Christ very much, in one chapter they talk about Christ a lot. And there is this one sentence where they say, we came to you. This is the sentence that started hooking me into this whole thinking. We came to you in Christianity, but we don't speak in those terms very much anymore because of the way religion screwed it up. Because what happened with religion? The same thing that happened with Rata, when Rata was connecting to the Ra Group and they were trying to help evolve the humans, and it was picked up by the negative, the priest, the priesthood that was losing control. They knew they were losing control. And so they started using the name Ra, Amun Ra, so people would think they had the same Ra as the other Ra. If you know our story of Akhenaten, his birth name was Amenhotep. Amenhotep. And all the pharaohs of Egypt, at least four of them, were named Amenhotep. The three previous before Akhenaten, Amenhotep 1, 2, 3, and 4. And Amun was the name adopted because Amun-Ra was the god of Egypt. And Akhenaten changed his name from Amun-Hotep to Akhenaten. And Aten represented the one god. And really, even when you think of the one god, it would be more accurate to say the law of one, that everything is God, part of God. We're all making up God. And so he was in league with the Ra Group to create these scenes so there would be a community that Jesus could come into and do his mission. And then Rome decided to take the power and use Jesus' name in their religion and try to regain power.